This is the Prepaid Podcast, brought to you by PrepaidReviews.com. Welcome to the Prepaid Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Polakowski. We're going to take this time once a month to sit down and talk about some issues within the prepaid wireless realm that we might not get to really talk about on the blog. For instance, this week we're going to start with T-Mobile's FlexPay. Is anybody familiar with the program? Now, it's not something that's widely known since they don't really feature it prominently on their website, but it is a valuable option in the prepaid marketplace. In essence, FlexPay allows you to pick from among of T-Mobile's best postpaid plans, including my faves, and use them on a prepaid basis. Now, this means that you'll get the benefits of postpaid level service without a contract or a credit check. You just have to pay in advance every month rather than paying your bill after you've received the service as you would with a normal contract plan. Signing up for FlexPay gives you access to T-Mobile's full selection of phones and PDAs. However, without a contract, you'll be paying full retail price for the devices. But if you opt to sign a 2-year agreement with T-Mobile, you can get a discount price on your phone. Now, they didn't specify how much of a subsidy you would get in that case, but considering the nature of the agreement, it seems like it would be somewhere close to a normal postpaid subsidy. Unlike T-Mobile's To-Go prepaid service, which is a true pay-as-you-go, FlexPay requires a $4.99 monthly fee. However, if you sign up for EasyPay, which links a credit or debit card to your account, T-Mobile will waive the fee. FlexPay is also compatible with family plans, so you can share minutes across multiple lines. This sounds like a superb option for families who want cellular service, but who don't want to commit themselves to 2 years and talk too much for a standard pay-as-you-go plan. Alright, I'm here with Yassine, who is the Executive Vice President and one of the co-founders of Page Plus Wireless. How are you, Yassine?
Very good, thank you. How are you, sir?
Very well. Now, I'm not the only one who refers to Page Plus as the best prepaid company that no one knows about. So, if you will, could you give us just a brief overview of how Page Plus started and what you guys do now?
Sure. Right now, from we started about 15 years ago or so in the paging business, when the paging first started, and we were locally in Toledo, Ohio, operating out of three stores, retail stores. 5 years later, we signed an agreement with a wireless carrier to sell prepaid voice minutes. And the four of us, the founders, in addition to the general manager, started the whole thing since 93. So all of us, all five of us combined, have about 50 years of wireless experience altogether. And because we have been in retail, we knew what customers wanted. What we did in retail, in paging and cellular in the 90s was complete end-to-end, meaning the service before the sale, after the sale, the billing, the whole thing. We knew what customers wanted. We knew what customers needed. We didn't have a layer of agents. We didn't have a layer of sales. We did the whole thing. So therefore, we gained a lot of experience from that. So when we started in 98, sell prepaid minutes, prepaid voice, we knew this was a bigger operation than paging. And it required basically a bigger area. Therefore, we launched Ohio immediately after we signed the agreement with a wireless carrier. And it all started from 98 to 2000. It was learning and trying trials and errors until 2001, actually, before 2001, where our carrier basically was running a promotion at the time. We took advantage of it. The promotion was give us a double off-peak minutes, and we took advantage of that. We extended it a little bit further, and we gave customers double the minutes all the time instead of just off-peak. And that was really a milestone in 2001. We ranked number 4 in the country among MVNOs back then. And that's the year where was a turning point for us. We had 100,000 customers. And it's been growing exponentially since then. Right now, close to 1 million customers with a lot more than just voice minutes. We have data that was actually just turned on to our network a couple of weeks or 3 weeks ago. And we are basically in the process of certifying different handsets before we launch it to our customer base.
Right. And now you talked about how you guys provide an end-to-end service. Now,
yes.
We've seen a lot of MVNOs die off in the past year and a half. Do you think this is one of the things that really sets you apart from the dying pack, is that you were able to provide all these services by yourself?
Well, let me, with a prepaid cellular, we do have a layer of partners, what we call master distributors. In the past, we did end-to-end. Right now, we do have a layer of partners, what we call master distributors, in each area, depending on the master distributor size. Some are large, some are small. Some are exclusive, some are not. And we do have, providers that sell our pins on their terminals. Now, the difference between us and the different MVNOs that probably are unable to make it, I mean, think of it as 1 + 1 = 2. It's that simple. You can't go out and get a $300 phone, subsidize it down to $50, don't do any due diligence work, sell it to anybody at a subsidized price, and expect people to stick with you, and you would make up the difference over time. There's no way. This is prepaid. It's a different customer base. It's a different revenue. Your return on investment is different than a postpaid. In a postpaid contract world, they are subsidizing a $500 phone to nothing almost sometimes. Why? Because you're a customer who's been with them for years and years. You're signing an agreement for 2 years. Here, it's a different end. We know these customers want freedom. That's why they choose prepaid. We have to offer them that, and we have to keep in mind the business model. In order for us to have enough juice to continue, we have to make something that makes sense. So this is why that sets us different. We know what makes sense. That's why we deal with refurbished equipment. We give it the full warranty, and it's a good price for the consumer. It's a good price for us, and it makes sense. This is why. This is the main reason why we're different than everyone else.
Yes, and speaking of the handsets, I know when we talked last time, you talked about people being able to activate their existing phone when they sign up for Page Plus.
Correct.
Have you seen a lot of people taking advantage of that?
There are some, but not a lot. I would say the majority. We don't depend on that at all. I mean, we have our own source of refurbished equipment, refurbished and certified by Verizon. We only sell certified equipment that are certified by Verizon Wireless, and we don't depend a great deal on that. However, if customers have a cool phone that they have in mind, they like our service, they can turn it on, but not a great deal, no.
All right. And now what I really wanted to ask was a concept we also talked about last time, about funny money. And I know it can get complicated, but
correct.
The way you explained it, it seemed to make sense in that it would really work out for the customer. So
yes.
If you could you please explain the concept of funny money?
Absolutely. Let me give you an example. In a postpaid world, again, you have a 39, let's say you have a $39.95 plan, gives you X amount of minutes. $59.95 plan gives you X amount of minutes. Some carriers, probably it's no longer the case now, where you go and change plans, they sign you a contract, etc. But no one is able to bill you for two plans in the same month. Meaning if there is a better off-peak rate in this plan, a better mobile-to-mobile rate in this plan, or a better peak rate in this plan, they can't combine them in one billing cycle, in one 30-day month billing cycle, and bill you for both at the same time. Okay, that's in a postpaid world. It doesn't make sense. Billing system can't do it. It can do either or. What we did is our cards are like rate plans, the $10, the $25, the $50, and the $80. Those are actually prepaid rate plans. They're just printed on a card, and you prepay for your monthly bill or for whatever period of time you need it for. We created a way to be able to allow customers to take advantage of two different cards in the same billing cycle. Because we rate them all the same, we rate all the denominations, 10, 25, 50, and 80, at 12 cents rate. What we do is we dilute that rate by adding what our customers call funny money. to the back end, meaning when a customer goes to load a $25 card, they're going to receive a $25 plus an $11 bonus. And that dilutes the 12 cents down to 9 or 8 point something, 8.5 cents. So therefore, customers, when they load two different cards, a 10 and a 25, our billing system sees them rating at 12, both at 12 cents. It doesn't get confused. At the same token, there is bonus money that the customer is receiving. Therefore, everyone is happy.
It sounds like that definitely sounds like something that that works out for both you and for the consumer.
Exactly. That's the system gets confused when you have two different rates in the same billing cycle. It will announce minutes wrong. It will, and customers think they are either getting more or less of their minutes, which they're not. But when we rate them all the same and use funny money, use bonus money, that makes it actually to work well.
That sounds good, Yassine. Well, thank you for coming on and talking with me.
Thank you.
And this is Yassine, once again, the Executive Vice President and co-founder of Page Plus Cellular.
Thank you very much, Joe.
ESPN Mobile, Amped Mobile, Disney Mobile, XE Mobile. 2 weeks ago, we heard of another one, Sinopia, closing its doors. So it's no doubt that the false rumors spread last week about Virgin Mobile laying off two-thirds of its staff caused more people to think that the MVNO model just won't work. Well, those claims were overblown, but the question is still there. Why are MVNOs thriving around the world, but they can't seemingly make it in the US? Niche has something to do with it. There's something to be said about the power of filling a niche, but there is such thing as overflow. Take the youth niche, for example. Virgin and Boost got there first. They marketed their phones mainly to appeal to people between the ages of 18 and 35, though they definitely have more appeal in the lower portion. But they fill the niche well. Well, then look at ESPN Mobile, XZ Mobile, and Ant Mobile. Where are they aimed? The same markets as Boost and Virgin. While ESPN might be a slightly different case, it seems that XZ and Amp simply could not take enough market share away from Boost and Virgin. The niche was already filled. Then there's the issue of a niche with no money in it. Disney Mobile was a good idea, but their market is limited. Disney's usually associated with younger kids, who typically don't have the need for a cell phone. They might have been targeting a slightly older demographic, but they couldn't quite reach it. This is why Kijiji has seen such success. They saw that the early teen market was much more ripe for growth. And because they didn't have a well-known brand name behind them, they were better able to market their services to the more lucrative demographics. So how do we explain MVNO successes like TracFone and Page Plus? Well, marketer and best-selling author Seth Godin might have an answer to that. He's long said that there are two things you can do to make yourself successful. First is to be the first. The second is to be the best. TracFone was the first company to the prepaid game. Page Plus does it the best. Therefore, they're both able to survive in an environment where so many have failed. True, there are other reasons for MVNO failure related to the way the telecommunications industry is governed. That's an issue we can get into in a future edition of the Prepaid Reviews podcast. I'm here now with Brad Hauser, the Senior Project Manager of Data Services at Cricket Communications. How are you doing, Brad?
Good, thanks.
All right, Brad, now we wanted to talk about mobile web and data services in the prepaid realm. Now, typically, this isn't something we've seen a lot of. If we're talking about, say, a company like TracFone, they're mostly based on voice and SMS. But we're seeing more out of Cricket now, especially with the launch of the AWS spectrum. So can you give us a little background of when Cricket started offering a mobile web service?
Yeah, we actually launched our mobile web service back in the summer of 2006. And from there, we've just been increasing the amount of data offerings we have, different products that have rolled out.
And currently, how many plans, how many of your monthly rate plans come with the mobile web already included in them?
So the way we offer it is we rolled out as a $5 monthly recurring charge. So a user could add it as a bolt-on to their voice service. And then about 6-8 months later, we actually rolled it into one of our rate plans, one of our higher-end rate plans. So for $50, a user could get, you know, the unlimited voice calling, unlimited text or SMS and MMS messages, They could also get the unlimited mobile web use, including that rate plan. So it's kind of like an all-in package, and was very successful.
Yeah, and with the success with that, have you guys noticed anything as far as the mobile web usage, the mobile web usage trends out of your users?
Yeah, we had quite encouraging, actually. Let me kind of step back a little bit and just kind of talk, kind of give you a little bit of a profile of our customer, though, kind of help explain the answer to that. So, you know, for our customer base, and this would be more similar for prepaid, you know, our customers are predominantly under 25 years old. Most of them are under 35. Under $35,000 income, and then they're really ethnically diverse. And what you find in all of the stats across that are published out there, like M-Metrics or somebody of that source, the heavy users of data services are those people that fit within these demographics. So we've reaped the rewards of that quite heavily. Some of our, I mean, when we talk about, you know, our success for data services, data products, we try to compare to some of the other carriers and just kind of get a gauge on how well our, you know, customers, how much they use it compared to other carriers. So we talk to our content providers that we have offer our mobile web service. And let me throw a couple examples at you. One of our content providers said that we've been as high as 5 to 6 times the amount of page views as some of the big tier one carriers per customer. And they also this kind of blew me away, is they see the Cricket customer as being very tech savvy, in that anytime something happens on the service, so like whatever website they're going to, if there's a problem with it, it's the Cricket customer that calls first. And that kind of tells us a couple things. It tells us that one, that these customers are using this very frequently, and they're relying on that access they get from their phone more than a standard customer would. Because if you've got a choice between a mobile and a PC, you know, website, if something's wrong with your mobile, you're just going to hang up and or you put your phone down and go get it on your PC later that day. Where our customer, I think they tend to rely on a lot more.
So you'd say that you see a lot of customers now adopting their mobile phone as their primary access to the internet.
We definitely know that. Our customer base is quite a bit lower than the rest of the industry as far as, you know, PC access at home. Not just PC access, but internet access at home. And so they definitely use their phone as their primary access point.
Well, and that kind of goes along with the mantra of prepaid, is you're trying to save money every month on your bill. And because you guys offer a mobile web service, and quite a comprehensive mobile web service, you guys, your customers then have the ability to kind of cut out their home internet charge because they have such a service right on their cell phone.
Exactly. And the other thing that we kind of find interesting here is that if you look at the prepaid customer, that, you know, they traditionally don't have the amount of disposable income to spend on ancillary services, but what they do is they do pick and choose where they spend it. And the one stat that's kind of odd, I think, is we looked at game revenues and or game downloads. And typically your prepaid, I'd say your prepaid demographic, maybe not your prepaid customer, but that demographic actually purchases more downloadable games than any other demographic. It's the lower income. And I think, you know, we're making some assumptions that it's because they're not out there spending money on the Xbox games, that this is their device of choice for their gaming.
Well, I've always preferred, actually, it's because of my nature, I'm kind of an old school gamer, I've always preferred the cell phone games over, you know, Xbox and PlayStation games, because I'm not a graphics guy, I just want something fun to play.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. And it seems like now, with the AWS kind of coming full circle and you guys starting to launch in different markets, or at least are planning to launch in different markets, the new data card, is it going to allow even more people access to the internet, even if it's just from their home computer?
Well, that's kind of what we're hoping for. We're trying to figure out how best to sell this. As you know, we just launched this here a few months ago, and it's been quite a learning experience for us, and which has been great, because you're right, there is, we do see a need for, you know, different type of access and more cost affordable access point to the internet, and we're trying to figure out how best to do it. I mean, if you look at it, it does have its challenges. If you look at this current customer base that I kind of called out, you know, you have to really ask yourself, how many people have a PC that's going to use one of these cars, maybe, you know, even a laptop? So we're trying to find the sweet spot. We're still learning as we go with this, but we're trying to find the sweet spot in who to best target. Because we do know that, you know, as we launch these AWS markets, they're not proliferated across the U.S., so you can't take a card and travel with it like you would, you know, like a business user would. So we've got to look at that demographic that would use it locally, and whether that be, you know, real estate agents or students or, you know, just people who just want to, you know, an access at home and not be tied to a cable model or something. We're really trying to hone in on who those customers will be and who that low-hanging fruit is.
I said that makes total sense to me. For $30 a month, you get unlimited data access, and even if that's at dial-up speeds, it works a lot better because it's working in conjunction with your phone service. So then I think it adds more incentive for people to actually use it at home rather than the mobile way that a lot of, you know, Verizon and AT&T offer their broadband cards.
And we're hoping the customer sees it that way. I mean, I look at it myself, it's like, good grief, I would be crazy even as a traveling business user to not switch my stuff over and use a broadband card from Cricket. I mean, it just makes sense.
So I guess, and I was going to ask this before, but it seems like we've almost come across the answer that this almost wouldn't naturally, you'd think, or some people would think it would naturally lead to Cricket starting to offer more mobile PDAs and BlackBerry devices like that. But if the data use is more of a central local place, it almost seems like people would be more receptive to using the simple mobile web features on their phones and using the at-home data cards.
Yeah, the challenge for us, right, it all comes down to marketing, really. I mean, when people think of Cricket, and here's what we're kind of facing, right, is when people think of Cricket, they're not thinking, the BlackBerries or even the mobile data card. They really think, you know, a cost-affordable voice service. And so, you know, part of our, I mean, it's great branding, right? Any brand wants to be noticed for one thing and be very identifiable by that thing. And we've done a pretty good job carving that out. Now that we're kind of branching out into some of these other areas, we've really got to look at how we grow the brand to kind of accommodate that or how to fit these products within the brand. So that's the exercise that is really the most challenging right now.
Well, that's great to hear, Brad. And thanks for coming on and talking about the data services. I think it's really something that the listeners can benefit from because we're really not used to seeing this kind of data offering in the prepaid realm.
Thank you for the time.
No, anytime, Brad, and you're welcome back on anytime.
Okay.
Once again, we're here with Brad Hauser, Senior Project Manager of Data Services at Cricket Communications. Well, that's it for the first edition of the Prepaid Podcast. If you guys like something, didn't like something, or want to see something new, shoot me an email. It's editor@prepaidreviews.com. For the Prepaid Podcast, I'm Joe Polakowski. We'll see you next month.